Volume 7, Symbolic Code Number 16, Texas, 1941. January-June, 1941. Mount Carmel Center. Lake Waco, Texas. Lightening the Earth. The Lord gave the word, great was the company of those that published it. Dear brethren, your prompt and zealous response to the urgent appeal which we broadcast by letter some time ago, to come up to the help of the Lord against the mighty by securing names for the literature, was a deep gratification, not only to us here at the center of the work and to you in the field, but certainly also to the angels above at the very source of the work. Just think, brethren, of the glorious opportunity of having a part in the work in which angels share the unmatched privilege of helping to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel by gathering their names and addresses. Being privileged to engage in such an exalted endeavor should constantly fire the one so honored to put forth ever-increasing zeal in his efforts. And this seems to have been the experience of most present truth believers. Because of the supreme worth of the work at stake, and the shortness of time in which to accomplish it, we therefore address you at this time, to encourage you anew to continue, and even step up, if possible, your enthusiastic support of the Name in Gathering campaign. Cling to the Lord's promise, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Isaiah 55:11. Let this be your faith, and in the kingdom you shall certainly look upon the fruits of your labors, and rejoice with an everlasting rejoicing. We are glad to report that your zealous efforts have compelled the circulation department to increase its facilities, and that it is now equipped to handle many additional names. So be not satisfied until you have swamped us with the names and addresses of SDAs. Keep in touch with your prospects, and if you learn of anyone's moving from his reported address, or of something pertaining to any one of them which would be of interest to the circulation department, please inform us immediately. Let this renewed effort be a more fervent attempt than ever before to reach every one of the honest in the church, so that the servants of our God may quickly be called to their post of duty, the kingdom set up, and the light spread to the uttermost parts of the earth. Then many people shall go, and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Isaiah 2:3. But as none of us should feel that our work is finished until every soul has received this message, and has had opportunity to take his stand with it, and the great ingathering has been completed, let us, therefore, with renewed vigor and zeal, push forward, and still forward, permitting nothing to discourage us or to turn us aside from our goal. Especially now, since never in the annals of the Church has there been an internal struggle the like of that which is rapidly developing throughout the rank and file of Laodicea of the Church's seventh section, and the last in which the tares are commingled with the wheat. This struggle, which began in 1929 through 1930, and which is unlike all others in its major aspects, is destined to bring sin in the Church to an end. How imperative, then, that each have the opportunity to know to a point of moral certainty that he is on the right side. Now, as in the days of Christ, the leadership on each side, believing that it bears the charter of revealed truth, is set to command the pilot wheel of the old ship Zion, so as to take it safely into the haven of eternal peace. The older command of the ship is determined that the younger neither set hand to the wheel, nor be heard by the passengers aboard, though the facts concerning the real condition of the professed people of God speak more loudly than their profession, and make it evident that some power has cut the cable that anchored them to the eternal rock, and that they are drifting away to sea, without chart or compass. Christ Our Righteousness, pages 50-51. That this struggle is swiftly gathering in intensity, as a result most recently of the Name in Gathering campaign, is witnessed by the swelling chorus of voices from both sides. And now that all may know for themselves, as to which side sing for the majesty of the Lord, Isaiah 24:14, we herein place both before you, beginning with a few of the Volume 7 Symbolic Code Numbers 1-6. Page 2. Opposing Voices. Literature Spurned and Destroyed. The literature you sent to this address finds its way to the furnace. I do not choose to be annoyed by it any longer. There is no light in your publications for this family. We refuse to let you think for us or lead us. I have no confidence in your movement. CB. Please discontinue sending any of your tracts or letters to our home, as we are not interested, and all such are put into the fire. We are well satisfied with the truth as taught by the Seventh-day Adventist denomination, and want none of the Shepherd's Rod teachings. J.D. Since we know you people are the Shepherd's Rod, we'll thank you to leave our name off of your list. Everything you send us goes straight into the stove, so be governed accordingly. Everyone in knows who you are using the good Seventh-day Adventist name to deceive and defraud. Why don't you dopes wake up and go straight? Everyone else here that you're trying to mislead says you've got fine paper for a good warm fire starter. Let's not hear from you again. L.S. I wish you would please keep this junk to yourselves. I don't want it. I use it for paper to start a fire, and I don't need it, because I have plenty of paper to start a fire with. I don't know who sent you my address, but you might tell them they surely made a mistake. VW. Refuse even to investigate. In reply to the booklet you sent to me, and to all other literature you have been sending to me, they get no farther than the stove, and are not wanted, and are not appreciated, so please do not send any more to me. If I receive any more of your literature, I will notify the Postmaster General, Washington, D.C. This is the first and last warning. A.G. I am just addressing you that the pernicious literature that you are sending my wife is of no avail, for it goes in the fire as soon as it arrives. You can advise the person that gave you my wife's address of the fact. If you have so important message, you ought to give it to the people of Babylon, for the gospel is to the people that are in Babylon, for the SDA is not Babylon. A. You may rest assured I received all your tracts, and all of them go immediately, without being opened, into the fire. I am asking you, as a favor, do not send any more. I won't read them. I am a true member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and intend to remain so. I do not intend to backslide. M.K. I have paid no attention to any of the tracts, and furthermore am not at all interested. I am in full harmony with the denomination, and do not care for any more of your literature. Please do not send any more literature. B.H. Please be good enough not to send us any more of your literature, as we are not interested in same. It would be better to give them to someone who would read them. Personally, we don't want anything to do with the Shepherd's Rod or anything connected with it. If you continue to bother us with this literature, I shall be forced to write to the Post Office Department. H.D.S. I wrote you several weeks ago about sending me your literature, and I told you I did not want any more of it. Now I mean just that. I don't expect to change my mind about it. Now where you get the authority to use the heading of these letters and books as publishers of Present Truth series, in the interest of the Seventh-day Adventist denomination, is beyond me. There is no connection between the two. I told you before I just burn them as fast as they come without reading them now, so please obey my wishes. W. Fearful others may see for themselves. Will you please scratch my name from your mailing list? I not only do not care to read your literature, but I destroy everything you send me so that no one else will read it. R.L.O. Relies upon conferencemen, will not read. As my husband is too busy to bother with such evil as this, I am writing for him. Anything in the way of reading matter you may send us will go in the stove without being opened. We rely fully on our men at the conference, as we know that they are led by God. The following remark was written on an envelope. I only opened it to get the address to send it back, and I have it now, so if you send any more it will come back without being opened. Your booklet went in the stove without being read. And this is coming back without being read, so please do not send any more. I have no time to be bothered. HHT Volume 7 Symbolic Code Numbers 16 Page 3 Satisfied to know no more. I don't know where you got my name to send your lies to. And may I take this opportunity to say you might save your postage, or perhaps I should receive it and destroy it, saving someone else the time and trouble. I am perfectly satisfied with the original and final organization of the SDA Church. I have no intentions of changing. Unsigned, Los Angeles, California. I have been receiving literature for some time. I have read some, and I find it differs to my belief. I feel I have the truth and am satisfied with nothing else, so please do not waste any more literature on me. MS. Please do not send us any more of your literature. We have the Bible and all the testimonies, and have realized the blessings He has promised for over 50 years. AO and RN. Manifests utter lack of knowledge. Keep your dope at home. The Bible is good enough for us. Your tracks are way behind the time we are living in now. OS. Concerned with baptisms rather than truth. When there is so much truth-filled literature printed by our organized SDA denomination, it indeed would seem foolish to accept the statements printed by you. May I ask into what church you baptize your members? How many did you baptize in 1940? There is only one SDA church, and that with headquarters at Washington, D.C., and not at Waco, Texas. I am studying for the ministry, and I shall do my utmost to expose your underhanded methods. Kindly save your literature for someone who might be ready to apostatize. ARM. Not prepared for advanced light. Since the Bible tells us that we should love all men, I address you as friend. Your recent letter, the date of which you failed to specify, reminds me of a story concerning a shop where they manufactured cane furniture. Above the door was a sign, "Expert twisting and turning done here." You seem to be expert at twisting scriptures and testimonies out of their original settings to harmonize with your preconceived notions. If you really have such an important message, as you claim to have, why don't you come down to a most severe climate such as ours, and jeopardize your life in the giving of it? It seems that you prefer to locate in a most ideal climate, where you can sit in comfort and hatch out your brain children. Undoubtedly, we all need reform in our lives. However, I find it rather difficult to live up to the light I have already. When I am able to live up to the light I already have, I shall be glad to give consideration to this advanced light of yours. Until then, you may save the postage required to mail your enlightening material to this union, and use the money saved to buy more oil for your lamp. Incidentally, the booklet you planned to mail me on extra oil need not be mailed at all. Let me also point out that the name of our union is the Caribbean Union, not the Caribbean Union, as you had it on the envelope. I have observed that a number of your so-called reformers would do well to take a few lessons in spelling. C.A. Harsh thoughts. Your very illogical assortment of quotations arrived in the mail this morning. Were I to express in words what I think of people who represent themselves as Adventists, obtain the names of Seventh-day Adventists through devious ways, then try to mix them up by a collection of statements taken from their original setting, to appear that they mean something entirely different from what the author of those statements intended. I say if I expressed what I thought of such as you, it would be very harsh. I am not alone in my feelings, for other people who receive the same type of spurious information are either returning it, refusing it, or sending it to the waste basket. Should you be so bold as to send more, the last will be the fate of such nonsensical jumbles of words and sentences. Please do not waste any more of your foolishness on me, nor take my time to throw it unopened into the waste basket. MVB. Labels believers venerable liars. Throughout all the Atlantic Union Conference, notice has been given of the underhanded methods of apostates trying to obtain names. Venerable liars. Satan uses means in his work that God cannot sanction. Am instructing all members of my local church in regards to the shepherd's rod. CBC. Scornful language expresses sentiments. Your letter received, and I am returning it to you. For 15 years I have been in the third angel's message, and a Seventh-day Adventist, which I am still, and I am one with the whole heart, not part, if you get what I mean. I do not intend to dabble with something I know is like a hog wallow in their own dirt, and eat it. Volume 7, Symbolic Code Numbers 1-6. Page 4. Please do not send any more literature, as I think it cost you money, and you'll need that later on. Please keep your letters and papers out of our church. We have enough paper. LC. Why do you people work so sneakily? We know that no true Seventh-day Adventist in good standing would put out such stuff. I told that other man who sent me a circular from Waco that it smelt like a polecat, but I believe snake would be more fitting name. Why do you quote from the Spirit of Prophecy? It was given to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, not to any shepherd's rod or any other offshoot, so your usage of the writings are thievery. You people are all alike, sneaky, thieving. Read the history of these shoots, they've all died out, and so will the shepherd's rod thing. SC. Stand Pat refuses to advance. Please remove my name from your mailing list. I am a Stand Pat Seventh-day Adventist, and I do not care for your side issue or offshoot organization whatsoever. You are just trying to disrupt the most wonderful organization in the world, and I fail to see why men and women are so weak to leave our church and follow the Shepherd's Rod outfit. Put this in your paper so the people can see what I have to say about it, because I notice you love to print testimonials in your little magazine. J.S. Classes Rod with Garbage. To the Shepherd's Rod Ramrod. I read your paper a long time ago, and in the light of reason and good common sense, I will frankly tell you what I found. I found the most God-denying, heaven-defiling heresy that I ever read. I wrote you and that old JR alike. You and he are a great team. Only this, of the two he is on top because he does not attack the great Second Advent movement. I am returning one wine container. The rest go to the garbage and ashes, where you will end at an early date with all your brood. I want to ask a favor of you. Please keep your dyed-in-the-wool heresy to yourself. It will be burned to ashes with its sponsor. Hell jaws are yawning. No friend, J.S. Would meet payer of scrip. You can rest assured that no one outside of your immediate little mining camp believes this. The writer refers to the letterhead caption, Publishers of Present Truth Series, in the interest of the Seventh-day Adventist denomination. I know you'll say you are being punished for Christ's sake, but only because you bring it upon yourselves. You have no grounds for your unbelief. There is no use sending this literature. I do not believe it will be very many months until your leader will leave with everything you own. I understand he pays you with scrip and buys your groceries, etc. You can show this to him. In fact, I would like to meet him. Your leader has only a racket. HH. Not interested in stupid publications. I have your circular letter bearing date of May 12th and have the contents. I cannot tell you what literature I have received, but you may as well cut me off your mailing list, as I am not interested. ORS. Please stop sending your stupid publications. JA. I write these few lines to inform you that I do not want any more of the Shepherd's Rod tracts, etc., sent to my address. I destroy all that comes. W. No doubt I have received all the tracts you have sent me, but I am not interested. They have all gone into the waste basket. You need not trouble yourself in sending any more. It will only be a wasted effort on your part. E.H. Your literature and a letter continue to be left in my mailbox, although I wrote you and asked you to cease sending it to my address. If any more comes, I shall have to report the matter to the postal authorities. I do not wish for anything that comes from your publishing house to be put in my box. I trust that I shall not have to take this up with the authorities. B.C. Places confidence in leaders. I am an isolated believer in the present truth. I have not had opportunity to talk this matter over with our workers, but I am convinced that your work is a plan of Satan to draw believers away from the organized work. I have great confidence in the leadership of the SDA Church, and it is through this organ that the work is to be accomplished. F.C. I am not interested in the literature you desire to send me. I recognize it to be the Shepherd's Rod doctrines and know all I desire to know of it. Volume 7, Symbolic Code Numbers 1-6. Page 5. My confidence in both the ministry and the SDA teaching remains unshaken, and am not interested in literature that has as its purpose tearing down what means everything to me. A.W. Will cut the line lest he swallow the rod. Well, sir, do you know what I did? Well, I started out to get people to accept Jesus, and I think when a person fully does that, they won't be bothered about the bait you speak of, or at least I am not. For if a person swallows bait, hook, and line, he will have to either cut the line or swallow the rod. So I have been afraid of baits. I understand there are about 100 of your baits here in Loma Linda. I have only been here 4 months. You must have a very good outfit here. Save your money, you will need it a little later for to buy bread. Don't send me any more bait. G.C. Take shot at rod. I suppose that I am wasting a few minutes of precious time, a perfectly good sheet of paper and envelope, and a 3-cent stamp, in writing you, but I may be wrong. Please do not write to me about your wonderful new message when you resort to the crooked SKUL duggery that you and your people practice in carrying on your work of tearing down the work of the third angel's message. You are wasting what little talent you have on a lost cause. But that will be your bill to pay. If I were writing to a man that understood the first principles of honor, I would gladly sign my name to this shot at you, but under the circumstances I will not do so. Make the best of it. A believer. Light appears as darkness. I have been receiving your nefarious literature for some time. Whoever sent in my name had no right to do so whatsoever. Did it without my knowledge or consent. I want you to drop my name from your list. No, I used to argue with you, for you know perfectly well your cult are fulfilling prophecy when you commence denouncing the brethren and misapplying Sister White's testimonies. You are just one of the offshoots and will sooner or later pass into oblivion as other offshoots have done. My prayer is that you will come to your senses ere it is too late. I have read your literature to some extent, and I see no light in them whatever, so please quit sending your literature to me or to anyone. You are surely taking a terrible responsibility upon yourselves to try to lead away from the true SDA faith. Your last booklet I received, Hear Both Sides of the Controversy, is the most lifeless insult I ever read, and to think it is to the most exalted association on earth. Think seriously of the harm you may have done to some, but as for me, you have only increased my faith in the General Conference and in this blessed truth. You may publish this letter as one of your testimonies received. J. McCock. Wishes long life and power to lunatic. Several of your good sisters were instructed how to use underhanded methods to get addresses of loyal SDA people in our field, and soon a flood of your trash and letters from a certain once-was elder began to arrive. Well, all the people can be fooled part of the time, and some of the people can be fooled all of the time, but you cannot fool all of the people all of the time. That is what Lincoln said, anyway. We have been told that the third angel's message constitutes the bread of life to a famishing world. Please, where are you breaking this bread? It is broken at your own table, and that is as far as it goes, to my knowledge at least. Talk about reprobate leaders. You should hang your heads in shame. Somewhere in your organization there is a lunatic. May he live long with you and have much power, for he surely is subverting much of the artifices of the devil. A.R. Beside himself or with contempt. Yes, I have received them all, and have written to you about them, and your refusing to sign your letters, and your trick to corral SDAs. You call me on this graft, dear believer. Don't you think it for a moment. I think your stuff is all trash and bunkum. You say, all we are interested in is to renew the love of the truth in the hearts of God's people. Number, this is not true. And you will bite the dust like all who have gone before you. You are trying to get a lot of sore heads, like yourself. There is absolutely no Christianity in your work. How universal is your publishing, Austin? I begrudge the stamp on this mail. Send me back one. Elder A.B. Volume 7, Symbolic Code Numbers 1-6. Page 6. While we deeply regret that our Laodicean brethren are angry with us, we nevertheless are greatly encouraged, rather than disheartened, by such hostile opposition as voiced in the foregoing criticisms. For were our efforts fruitless, our opponents would not be aroused to such bitterness, going so far even as to tear up or scorch the literature, and then return it through the mails, with sarcastic remarks. And were our message false and refutable, they would not be so busy and so careful to forbid, on penalty of disfellowshipment for disobedience, anyone to read our literature. On the contrary, they would urge the laity to read and to see for themselves the falsity of the rod, if such were the case. History shows on the one hand, that those who are standing on the side of wrong are fearful of and even scornful toward any literature that claims to carry more light than what they already have. Only those who are wrong, and who can give no answer to the advancing truth, get angry with its advocates, refuse to look into it, and become exceedingly careful to destroy it because they do not wish to accept it, or permit anyone else to come in contact with it. While on the other hand, those who are on the side of right are never troubled by coming in contact with anything, even if it be error. And, whether or not they accept its teachings, they are conscience-free, not fearful, to pass the literature on to others for them to read for themselves if they wish, just as staunch Seventh-day Sabbath believers, themselves, are never fearful of coming in contact, or of having others come in contact, with the Sunday doctrine. Only those who are right are glad, and ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh them a reason of the hope that is in them with meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3:15. In marked contrast to the enraged tumult resounding from the chorus of voices just heard, now listen to the gentle harmony rising with Christ, like accents from a few of the many favorable voices. Prayed for light, it came. I am very glad to testify for the present truth and the wonderful promises of God. This past summer I prayed for a closer walk with my Lord, and for more light. A few months later I received this precious truth. It has brought increased temptations and trials, and has separated us from friends, but God has added grace to endure. The reading of tract number 7 brought conviction to me that the message is the truth and not error. My husband's former interest in the symbolisms of the Old Testament riveted his attention to the message, as he saw it unfolding their mysteries. A.R. finds message rich. A certain believer kept on after me and would not let me alone. I thought he was crazy, but finally I decided to listen to his doctrine. Now I am about as crazy as he is over the truth. The message is rich, and God is good to me to give me the promise of never dying. This certain believer and I were baptized into the SDA Church together, and now we hope to be in the kingdom together. J.C. Regrets destroying copy of Rod. The little booklets have been arriving regularly, and I have been reading them as they come. I am sorry now that I destroyed my copy of the Rod. I will get both volumes when I can. To say that I appreciate the booklets would be stating it mildly. M.D. reads and believes every word. I am interested in the Advent movement and have read the Rod and believe every word of it. Now can anyone say it's a lie when it's taken out of the Bible? I can't. Would you please send the code to me each month and put my name on your mailing list? I will be looking for it. So be sure to answer my questions. W.C. Aroused to investigation by SDA's attitude. The spirit of the SDA's in my home, when some Shepherd's Rod believers came into the house, convinced me that something was radically wrong. They refused to meet the Shepherd's Rod brethren. I was then aroused to see and hear both sides, and, as a result, I found that the Rod has pure Bible truth that cannot be contradicted. P.S. Cherish is the truth. We have received your good literature in the past, and love every word of it. Though we love and appreciate the things contained therein, we are asking an interest in your earnest prayers to stand for real truth. We are happy to find the personal testimonies of some of our friends in your paper, and as soon as we are able, we want to purchase your 2 volumes of precious truths. We have the little books and cherish them all. R.F. Volume 7 Symbolic Code Numbers 1-6. Page 7. Once feared, now loves, message and people. I am writing this to tell you that I love the Shepherd's Rod message more and more every day. I am reading my codes all over again. Some I have read several times, and yet they are always new. I am not only reading them, but trying to obey what they say. Whereas I used to be afraid of the Shepherd's Rod people, I now love them, and thank God I met them, and by His grace I mean to be one with them among the 144,000. FM. Accusation led to investigation and love of truth. Coming home from Sabbath school, I met a sister, and walked home with her, not knowing she believed in the Shepherd's Rod. In a few days my Bible class teacher came to my home and accused me of being a Shepherd's Rod believer. Later I asked the Rod sister what is a Shepherd's Rod. I began to ask more questions about what some Adventists talked of. She told me all about the Rod, and I decided that was what I wanted. I love it, and mean to go through with God's help. E.R. Obey Spirit's admonition to investigate. Some time ago my name was sent to your association for free literature. I received a few tracts, and then a questionnaire came. This I never filled out because of trouble here in the church over the Shepherd's Rod movement. Some years ago when one came forth claiming to have the gift of prophecy, I was very eager to investigate the claims, hoping for a true prophet. In our local church, a small group of us became interested, and all were disfellowshipped from the church, and treated most shamefully. I was new in the faith, and the experience was a dreadful shock to me. It made me feel that I never cared to investigate anything else, but I have read little from the tracts sent me, for I know that Sister White admonishes us to investigate. So I am going to study carefully and prayerfully. Now I have the means to send for my own set of books. I do not know just what it costs, but I am sure this check will cover the amount, and the remainder, if any, may be used for tracts. A.B. reads, believes, passes them on. Yes, I read your booklets, and I think we believe along the same line, as you do. We might differ somewhat, but I believe you are on the right line. After reading your books, we pass them on to others to read. I am not able to buy your books, but I like to read them. I have been studying the Bible for years, and with God's help I am able to understand much of it. I have been a Sabbath believer for 40 years. We believe the Bible and love God's Word, and are living Christian lives. If you care to, you may send your books to the enclosed addresses. J.M. No criticisms to make. I don't see anything wrong with any of your publications. They teach the Bible, and that is what we want now. I have no criticisms to make. And J. asks for more. I received a number of your tracts, but have missed some of them according to this slip you sent me to check. I've been a Seventh-day Adventist for 14 years, and believe in all of Sister White's writings. I believe she is the church prophet. I love to read all her books, and have quite a number of them, and I will appreciate any and all of the tracts you will send me. Now I hope to hear from you often. J.M. Wynn's Battle Against Prejudice. This message means everything to me. I am so glad for a message that rebukes and reproves my sins and at the same time holds such a promise of hope. To be one of the 144,000 is certainly worth striving for, and is worth any kind of persecution I have had to suffer since accepting this message. Although there have been times when I have had a terrible battle with prejudice, it has left me entirely. I am anxious to overcome all my sins and be sealed. I want to help bring the sealing message to a close. W. Page. Manifest Spirit of Investigation. I understand that you are publishing a series of tracts and other literature which is of special interest to Seventh-day Adventists at this time. I understand it is free, and would be glad to receive the selections, as I would very much like the opportunity of studying your publications. M.M. Must know for self before condemning. So many people who have been Seventh-day Adventists much longer than I have been, and who are better posted on the doctrines, and I, tell me not to read and study this literature you send me. I do not like to condemn anything, though, until I can know for myself. A.F. Volume 7, Symbolic Code Numbers 1-6. Page 8. Willing to accept more light. I might as well tell you that I have not been able to understand them, and haven't read them all completely through. I have been an Adventist for years next month, and many of the things you mention have never been explained to me. When I read my Bible, I do not come to the same conclusion on these things. In that I mean, I take the Bible, as it reads, and not in the symbolic way. This has no reflection on you. I'm just trying to tell you why I can't understand these difficult things. I do believe that our church, as it is now, is lacking in many ways. As I said before, I have been an Adventist for years, and since I was willing at that time to accept this truth through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I am willing at this time to accept more light, if there is more light to accept. I believe that the church members who have been in this truth for years, and many who have been raised in it, are most stubborn about this thing, and are acting as many of the outside people do when they hear the third angel's message. W.M. will study to be approved. I received your letter and leaflet, and have read all of them. I don't see anything different from what I already have studied and believe. I have been a member of the SDA Church for 50 years. My curiosity has been aroused enough to ask, why are you separate from the original church? You accept the testimonies, Sabbath, tithe, and live in obedience to God's commands. This is what I do, and live daily for Him, but I would like to hear more of your teachings. I will read anything you have to offer. I have received light myself by study, and the Bible says, study, to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I want to be a workman not ashamed. If there is new light from God's Word that we have not found, someone should tell us. He should be the watchman on the walls of Zion. We are too near the end to be negligent in things pertaining to eternal life. Let me hear what you have for us. S.R. finds Rod the very truth needed. I have been very much interested in the little books. This is the very truth we need in these last days. I appreciate all you have sent us to read. I only wish more understood the truth. J. Warned against Rod, failed to study deeply. For some time I have been thinking of writing you in regard to the tracts I have received from you. At first I did not understand them, and did not study them deeply, as we had been warned against them. But when I receive the tract, Hear Both Sides, of the controversy, I read it through, then went back to the other tracts, and really studied them, and the Lord opened my eyes, and things are quite clear to me. I am an earnest seeker for truth. I have so often wondered about Sister White's statement, that there would be a great reformatory movement among God's people, a revival of primitive godliness. I long to see this revival among God's people, for truly we are in a lukewarm condition. I long to have it in my own life, for things seem so different from when I first accepted this message 16 years ago. We'll be glad to receive more tracts, especially the harvest. R.J.F. will try the spirits whether they are of God. In reply to your letter, for which I thank you, I am always happy to receive any information in regards to more light from God's holy book. True it is, as your letter stated, we must try the spirits, whether they are of God. I will be happy to receive any information that you have, and I hope that I may hear from you soon. Send me any light that you may have, for I hold a very secret office in the church to which I belong. I have been the local elder for about 5 years. I hope that I may hear from you soon, if not by return mail. I.J. Reading of Rod results in awakening. Please send me more of the pamphlets. You have sent number I and number 6. They are marvelous. There is nothing in them contrary to the spirit of prophecy that I can read. The result of the reading is an awakening. Why have we been so blind? Thank you so much for them. Ian. Answer to prayer for light. I am writing this to tell you how thankful I am for the tracts you have been sending to me, for they came in answer to my prayer for more light on the subject I am now reading. Thanking you for the printed matter you have sent me, I ask God's blessing on you and your work. S.R. Skepticism turned into wholehearted belief. When the message of present truth first came to us, we were skeptical of its being truth, largely because of our preconceived opinions of what constituted truth, but the message was so startling that we knew it to be our duty to examine our position. Volume 7, Symbolic Code Numbers 1-6, page 9. So as to know that we know what is truth, and in so doing we knew we could not be wrong, for testimonies on Sabbath school work tells us that no one may excuse himself from an investigation of a message that comes in the name of the Lord to his people. Later, when we were cast out of the church for asking others to do the same, again we knew there was something wrong. So we bought all the testimonies and studied all winter, as we never studied before. And we have been abundantly convinced that this message cannot be error, for it is the true witness who speaks. Here is another overwhelming proof of the truthfulness of this message. These messages, the three angels were represented to me as an anchor to the people of God. Those who understand and receive them will be kept from being swept away by the many delusions of Satan. Early Writings, page 256. We want to be a credit to the cause of present truth. L.H. finds Ra genuine. Your letter came today, and believe me, it seemed to be one of the most enjoyable pleasures I have ever had. I have no words to express my feelings of appreciation in behalf of your interest. I have received the booklet, entitled Pre-11th Hour Extra, and have read it many times, and honestly and truly believe that the Ra is the genuine thing. I feel so sure of it that I have visited a number of acquaintances and given them the same message which has been given to me. Some of them are Adventists, and some of them are not, but they are all interested the same as I am, and they also believe the teachings contained in the two tracts which I possess. If those were the last of those tracts, and more could not be obtained, I would not consider parting with them for anything in the world, unless I had memorized them word for word, as they are written, and soon I hope to have the price to spare with which to obtain the two volumes of the books. I shall send in list of names of others, whom I know also desire literature. And as soon as I can, I am going to send into your movement any amounts of money which I can manage to help further your cause, because I truly do believe that your work is from God, and there could not be anything which could please the Lord any more than that I should do everything and anything possible to assist in supporting your work and making it possible for more literature to be published and sent out to people who are desirous of knowing the real truth. There has been a lapse of 48 hours since I finished the above lines, and so I have begun again, and want to say that I have since then received the booklet, Why Perish? I have read 57 pages of it since finishing my dinner, and wish I could just finish it before retiring for the night. I have never read anything so interesting and convincing in all my life. It is difficult to sit down and eat for the strong desire that seems to have taken possession of me for wanting to read the contents of each book over and over again. I wish I had been acquainted with your people years before now, but since that wish can never be true, I am certainly going to take advantage of every moment that presents itself to learn all that I can possibly crowd into my mind. The truths which are given by the Ra are the most wonderful and marvelous things I have ever come into contact with, because for the first time I feel that I have met someone who really believes in the Word of God only, and really accepts the Bible as a single standard for their belief. Katie reserves freedom to weigh evidence. Someone has sent to me your pre-11th hour extra, explanatory of the mysteries of Ezekiel. I did not immediately observe that it emanated from V.T. Howdef, of whose writings I had previous knowledge that our SDA leaders had spoken adversely, but even had I so observed, I would have felt entire freedom to weigh for myself the matter presented. I note your offer to send 11 of your tracts, in which further exposition is made, to those who address you, and I am writing to ask that you favor me with such opportunity for further examination of your attitude. I am not unmindful of the papal methods that often seem to underlie the opposition of our brethren, who in their blindness either ignore or repudiate truth that has been discovered by others. I, too, have felt the weight of such opposition, but I have withstood their zeal and still retain membership in a church which I myself helped to build up and which I serve during my active ministry and when engaged in missionary work here and in Mexico, as well as while serving as General Secretary of the Religious Liberty Association. So if you will send me the tracts you mention, and any other material from which I may gauge your leadership, I shall be very glad to give them my attention. If I find your attitude scriptural, I shall be glad to send you the addresses of others. J.B. Volume 7, Symbolic Code Numbers 1-6. Page 10. Proves each point, finds weight of evidence with Rod. I was indeed glad to receive your letter some time ago. Thanks for remembering me. While the quotations were familiar to me, yet I read and reread them, and how well they fit the conditions existing in the church today. I am coming along slowly, trying to prove each point of this new message as I go along. I am becoming more and more convinced that the weight of evidence is with the Shepherd's Rod doctrine, and, although there are some things which I still do not understand, I am beginning to think that I will soon have to take my stand with you folk. If you have light and truth for me, I want it. Just the other day a sister received a letter from a conference Bible worker, in which she said, the Rod doctrines contain so little error, that it is hard to detect it. I wonder how much study she has put on it. It is difficult to think in an entirely different line from what we have been used to, but I am slowly seeing things differently. Please keep our names before the throne of God, with the fervent prayer, that we may all meet around the great white throne, and serve God throughout eternity. C. Ellen. The Coates Testimony. With mixed feelings of joy and sadness, dear readers, I have brought to you these opposed voices: sadness over the spirit of the adversary manifested by the one, joy over the spirit of Christ manifested by the other. Now that you have heard a cross-section representation of expressions both for and against the message, may you rightly weigh each side, and choose the right one, and may those who are fighting see the folly of their blind hostility, and, as did Paul, turn from it, and seek zealously to advance the message, lest he spew them out of his mouth. And may those who are standing in its defense now be more deeply than ever rooted and grounded in the truth. And finally, may all who read me avoid the pitfalls of the former, the lukewarm, and share in the blessings and holy joys of the latter: those who have anointed their eyes with heavenly eyesalve, filled their vessels with extra oil, and taken their stand on the side of truth and right in accord with the following voice of counsel. With eager interest, with fervent prayer, come to the Word of God, that you may know what is truth, manifesting the same spirit as did Nathanael, when he earnestly besought the Lord, that he might know the truth. Light will come to every earnest seeker for truth, as it came to Nathanael. How easily was Nathanael convinced! And with what pleasure Jesus looked upon his sincere, guileless faith. God never honors unbelief, and questioning, and doubt. When he speaks, his word is to be recognized and carried out in the daily actions. And if the heart of man is in living connection with God, the voice that cometh from above will be recognized. Testimonies on Sabbath School Work, pages 63, 64. I, myself, along with the honest-hearted people, have received grace from the Lord, to know how to speak a word in season, to control my tongue, and to return not evil for evil, but to overcome evil with good, being always kind to and considerate of others, and doing and saying unto them what I would have them do, and say unto me, were our places reversed? And now, brethren, I therefore beseech you with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, that you all endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, and recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Ephesians 4:1-3, Romans 12:17-21. And grant religious liberty to all, for it is not our duty to demand of others respect for our religion, but it is our duty in meekness and in fear to teach the truth to those who do not know it, never demanding obedience to it. I entreat you all, therefore, by the living God, to depart from dictating terms to others, and from forcing your religious standards upon them. Do not encroach upon anyone's religious rights, or become angry with those who disagree with your belief, but rather join me in conforming to the following divine injunction. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Romans 14:1-5. Our duty is not to force, but only to teach obedience to the truth. That the Lord may forgive those who know not what they do, is my sincere prayer. Volume 7 Symbolic Code Numbers 1-6. Page 11. Questions and Answers. Allegiance to our government. Question 209. Is it wrong to salute the flag? Answer. The only satisfactory answer that can be given to this question is that which is founded upon Bible principles. Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Render to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything. Matthew 22:21, Romans 13:7-8. When the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, they could find none occasion, nor fault. Daniel 6:4. Finding him thus faultless, his enemies consulted together to establish a royal statute, and to make a firm decree, that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man, for 30 days, save of the king, should be cast into the den of lions. Verse 7. By securing the king's signature on the decree, they sought to effect a situation that must necessarily involve Daniel in an act of rebellion against his king. They knew that though he purposed to render unfailing allegiance to the king, he could not do so at the price of showing disloyalty to his God. And since the decree was designed to cause him to turn from God, he therefore was compelled not to honor it, but to petition his God, as he was wont to do, with the result that he was cast into the den of lions. But the one to whom he prayed saved his life from the hungry beasts. Then there is the notable case of Joseph, who, for his unswerving loyalty to the government of Egypt, was exalted to a position sharing the throne with Pharaoh. From these and other biblical incidents, we recognize that anyone's loyalty to his government is his pledge of allegiance to it, a salute to its flag. Thus, while on the one hand, one's disloyalty to God is a sin against him, on the other hand, one's disloyalty to his government is a sin against it, and indirectly against God also, for disloyalty to one's government is disobedience to the Lord's express command, render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's. For there is no power but of God, the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Romans 13:1-2. As the flag is not an idol, or a fetish, but a symbol, a standard, the salute to it is not idol worship, as some think, but rather public confession of one's loyalty to his government, just as baptism is one's confession of loyalty to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. At the command of God, the Israelites, according to their tribes, made standards, flags, and for no other reason than to be loyal to that for which the flag stood. See Numbers 2. Clearly, then, to attribute idolatry to one because of his saluting the flag would be to accuse God of forcing idolatry upon his ancient people. So every Christian, if he would be obedient to God's commands, must be loyal to the country in which he lives. Wherefore, as Christians in America, devoted to God, and consequently loyal to the just principles of this free government under God, we pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And so long as Old Glory unfurls itself as the emblem of the inviolate principles of its Constitution, so long is our pledge of allegiance to it an inviolate thing. Is it too late to get into net? Question 210. There is among us one who is teaching that since the net was drawn ashore, Matthew 13:47-48, in 1930 when the Shepherd's Rod was published, those who were not in it at that time, that is, were not then members of the SDA Church, cannot hope to be of the 144,000. If true, then why, in the face of it, should such a one even think, let alone attempt, to come in now rather than to wait for the loud cry? Or if already in the message, why should he continue striving to live up to it if his efforts are bound in futility because he missed the deadline? Answer. The parabolical act of drawing the net to shore, the Lord's momentarily intermitting his work, does not, in the figurative connection, bar any from getting into it the church, if they put forth the necessary effort, for though in the literal setting, the fish cannot swim into the net, after it is drawn ashore, in the figurative setting, the people can, if they will, get into the church up to the close of probation. Volume 7, Symbolic Could, Numbers 1-6. Page 12. Clearly, then, the deadline idea is specious, and is designed to discourage those affected, causing those already in the message to rationalize their way out because of the futility of staying in, and justifying others in not making the necessary effort to get into the net of salvation when the opportunity presents itself. Indeed, it even forces them to wait for their opportunity until it is forever gone. Says the Spirit of God, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Hebrews 4:7. The kingdom of God in our hearts. Question 211. Since according to Luke 17:21, the kingdom of God is within us, how, then, can it be in a certain land? Answer. Before the kingdom of God is established on this earth, it must be formed within us to qualify us to dwell in it. Accordingly, the kingdom of God, within, is within all who embody the principles of its rule, while they are subjects of the kingdoms of the earth. In fine, then, the kingdom of God, within, is a moral and spiritual regimen of life, the indispensable condition of admission to the literal kingdom. Is God's traveling throne a locomotive? Question 212. I have been told that the Ra teaches that the throne of Isaiah 6 is a train pulled by a locomotive belching forth smoke, and that it is not the permanent throne of God. Will you send me your literature on this subject? Answer. We assure the questioner that he will not find any such idea set forth in the teachings of the Rod, and that he may verify the fact by a careful reading of the literature which we have been glad to send him. The word train is quoted from the scriptures, and whatever it may be, it is propelled by the wings of the cherubim. The smoke did not come from the throne. As the prophet saw the train going to the temple, the truth is evident that whatever it is mobile, a truth which the cherubim's wings plainly confirm. And that this throne and the one which Ezekiel saw are two different ones is clearly seen from the fact that each of the four living creatures which he saw also has four wings, whereas each of the seraphims of Isaiah 6 has six wings. This, you will find, is what the Rod teaches. Be not presumptuous. Question 213. Does it not show a lack of faith to pray for the sick, and then seek to cure them? Answer. Simply praying for one who is sick, without doing anything for him, can only mean, in the last analysis, that the suppliant is more righteous and pitiful than God, and is therefore trying to convince the Lord to do something for the sick as though he did not want to. When we pray for others, we are not acquainting God with anything with which He is not already infinitely better acquainted than are we. Therefore, since He knows all about the matter, the reason we pray is not to convince Him that someone needs His help, but to ask His blessings upon what we may be able to do for the needy one. The Levite and the priest did not do anything for the wounded and were condemned for their pitilessness, whereas the Samaritan did, and was commended for his humanitarianism. Whether, therefore, we pray for others, or for ourselves, we are praying for the Lord's blessings upon our feeble efforts. In what names should Christians be baptized? Question 214. Why are not the given names of the Trinity used in baptizing? Answer. As the scriptures give several names for the Father, and for the Son, and none for the Holy Ghost, and, as we are not told which of these to use in baptizing, we must, therefore, take him at his word, and baptize in just the way he commands, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 28:19. Moreover, the names given in the scriptures are not absolute names, but rather titles equivalent to the names Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Still further, even if the absolute names of the Trinity were known, their use would lead to irreverent address. For example, suppose the Father's name is George, the Son's Thomas, and the Holy Ghost's William. Could any God-fearing human being even dare think of its being reverent to say, "I now baptize you in the name of George, Thomas, and William"? Let us therefore comply with the Lord's command, "Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." Matthew 28:19. For further light on this subject, study our tract number 11. Volume 7, Symbolic Code Numbers 1-6. Page 13. Give no credence to hearsay. Question 215. We are told that the shepherd's rod has misrepresented to the government of the United States the position held by the regular body of Seventh-day Adventists in regard to conscription. Will you please tell us what you did? Answer. The only statement made to the government by the believers of the shepherd's rod is found on page 11 of the January-June issue of the Symbolic Code, together with the government's reply, which, it will be noticed, is addressed to the shepherd's rod Seventh-day Adventist headquarters, Waco, Texas, not to the Seventh-day Adventist headquarters, Washington, D.C. Our statement to the government was made in the name of the shepherd's rod Seventh-day Adventists, which certainly cannot be misrepresenting the Seventh-day Adventist denomination, if it is misrepresenting anything. Believe only that which you read for yourselves, not that which you hear, and you will have no trouble with the rod. We know not the hour. Question 216. The Shepherd's Rod, Volume 2, through the study of the flood, draws the conclusion that the Lord will come on a Wednesday night, and Early Writings, page 285, states that God will announce the day and hour of His return. But Christ says, "Of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Matthew 24:36. Answer. Volume 2 of the Shepherd's Rod is not setting time, for though Christ may come as expected on the midday of the week, yet no one knows on which Wednesday night that may be. The rod does not claim to know that day or hour. And Early Writings is also in perfect harmony with Matthew 24:36, for Christ does not in this scripture preclude the possibility of the day and hour of His coming ever being made known. For although the scriptures say that the angels know not the hour, yet if they are ever to ready to start out with the Son on His second advent, it is evident that they must someday beforehand know the time. So it is with the saints, although the Bible says that neither do they know the hour, yet when the Father sees fit to proclaim it, then, and not until then, will they know. Moreover, the secret coming of Matthew 24:36 may be another than that commonly understood as the second coming. For further study on this subject, read our tract number 9, revised edition, pages 80-86. Sun in or above firmament? Question 217. Tract No. 9, page 20, makes the statement that the sun's rays shone through the water above the firmament, and thus warmed the earth evenly in the beginning, but the Bible says that the Lord set the sun, moon, and stars in the firmament of the heaven. Genesis 1:14-17. Now, if the sun was placed in the firmament, and the water was above it, how could the sun's rays which came to earth have shone through the water that was above the firmament? Answer. The already established facts that the earth's firmament atmosphere is comparatively only a few miles in thickness, whereas the distance between Earth and Sun is 93,000, 1.000 miles, makes it self-evident that the firmament in which the Creator placed the heavenly luminaries is not Earth's. Moreover, it is beyond the realm of reason even to think that the Creator would, for no reason at all, lift the water over 93 million miles from Earth and place it above the sun. Therefore, though in verse 8 of Genesis 1 the firmament which the Lord called heaven is the atmosphere surrounding earth, yet in verse 17 the firmament of the heaven in which the Lord placed the luminaries is the space above the atmosphere and between the heavenly bodies. Accordingly, then, while in the one instance the term firmament applies to the atmosphere, in the other instance it applies to space beyond, judged according to light possessed. Question 218. Although I am not a member of the SDA Church, yet since I have the light on Ezekiel 9 and the 144,000, will I fall under the slaughter if I do not fully accept and live up to the light? And, conversely, will I be subject to enjoy the privileges of the 144,000 and be one of them if I obey all the light of this message? Answer. Even though you are not a member of the church, still you will be held accountable for the light of the truth which you have received on the subject of Ezekiel 9, just as will any SDA who has received the rod. By the same token of logic, no matter whether you have come into the message only recently or some time ago, you are eligible for the society of the 144,000 if you live up to the message, that is to purify and seal them. Whether or not absolutely, however, you shall be one of them, you will, it is certain, if you remain faithful to the message, at least be one with them. Volume 7, Symbolic Code Numbers 1-6. Page 14. Who flees to mountains? Question 219. If God's people are in the kingdom during the loud cry, how can they be put in prison or driven to the mountains during that time, as the spirit of prophecy states they will? Answer. Since after the first fruits are sealed and stand during the loud cry, safe with the Lamb on Mount Zion in the kingdom, therefore both those who find refuge in the mountains and those who are put in prison must be of the second fruits, those who accept the message during the loud cry but who have not as yet reached the kingdom. See our tract number 12, pages 45-49. What did the code say? Question 220. Why does the code say that no one is fit to teach the message, whereas Jesus commands, "Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, and so beside all waters"? Moreover, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Why, then, can we not go and teach God's word? Answer. The code does not intend to convey the idea that no one ever will be qualified to teach, for such a static condition on the part of God's people would make them forever unfit to gather in the first and second fruits. Clearly, therefore, what the code did say is merely that no one was at that time qualified. Our unfitness, however, rather than disheartening and causing us to sit idle, should, as the code intended, encourage us to prepare for service. We should, therefore, diligently study the message and faithfully comply with all its requirements, and while we are thus making ourselves ready, we can be helping others to do likewise. Agitate, agitate, agitate. Question 221. If rod believers think they have a message, why are they not content to go their way and let others go theirs? Why should they agitate their message in our church? Answer. Tracing the history of God's church down through the ages, we find that if all had taken the same position as the questioner, the advancing truth would never have reached the church. If God's messengers in different periods had failed to agitate their messages in their own churches, how, then, would the various reformatory messages have reached his people? Is he not more interested in them than he is in the heathen? John the Baptist, Jesus, and the apostles all sacrificed their lives in order to take their messages to their own church. Why, then, should not the rod believers do likewise? Against these men Wycliffe, Huss, Luther, Tyndall, Baxter, Wesley, persecution raged with relentless fury, yet they ceased not to declare the truth. Different periods in the history of the Church have each been marked by the development of some special truth adapted to the necessities of God's people at that time. Every new truth has made its way against hatred and opposition. Those who were blessed with its light were tempted and tried. The Lord gives a special truth for His people in an emergency. Who dares refuse publish it? He commands His servants to deliver the last invitation of mercy to His church. They cannot shirk this responsibility except at the peril of their own souls. See the Great Controversy, page 609. The rod of my son. Question 222. Please explain the rod as mentioned in Ezekiel 21:8-15. Answer. That Israel as the rod of his son is evidenced by Psalm 74:2, 110:2. The Israelites were God's rod for punishing the heathen, just as Assyria was God's rod for punishing Israel, Isaiah 10:5. So the rod is an ensign of power and government, as well as an instrument of punishment. Volume 7, Symbolic Code Numbers 1-6. Page 15. Lest you forget. At the conference meetings in Los Angeles in the spring of 1934, it was unanimously adopted that every Friday evening, at the appointed hour 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, believers everywhere in present truth join in seeking God in behalf of the message, believing that such a concerted voice will, in all truth, lay at heaven's altar the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man which availeth much. A warning. Beware of being defrauded of means, as has already unfortunately occurred with some brethren by certain ones masking as teachers of present truth. Before entrusting anything to unaccredited persons, correspond with this office to ascertain their standing. A solicitation. The correspondence department solicits your reaction to the card letter stationery which it has recently adopted, stating what you like or dislike about it. Are the references, printed on the reverse of each page, of any value to you? Do you consider this new style of stationery preferable to the old? Volume 7, Symbolic Code Numbers 1-6. Page 16.